Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, January 8th, 2020. Ready?
At this time, may I have your attention, please? Hello? May I have your attention, please? At this time, the Ventnor City Planning Board meeting of January 8th, 2020, the first of the decade, shall it be, is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise to salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If someone in the back would please close the door, I'd appreciate it. Will the board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Langraff?
Here.
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Tom McAdam?
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Peter Taco?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Lorraine Salata, Mike Wiesen, and Tim Coop.
Next on the agenda is that of the adoption of the minutes from December 11, 2019. Are there any changes or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption?
Please. I'll make the motion to adopt.
Second. I'll have a straw vote right here. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes carry, the minister hereby adopted, and Commissioner Langraff has abstained. We do not have two resolutions this evening for adoption. They are P1 of 2020, P2 of 2020. Are there any amendments or corrections to those resolutions? Hearing none, seeing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption?
Motion.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes carried, therefore, those both resolutions are hereby adopted. This evening, as is customary in all the rest for the year, is that we'll be doing reorganization this evening. We will be doing the chairman, vice chairman, board engineer, professional planner, board solicitor, and our board administrator. First, are there nominations for board chairman?
Nominate Jay Cook.
I second.
Are nominations other for other? Hearing none, nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor of Jay Cook being president or chairman again, please place a vote, please. At this time. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you very much. Will it be nominations for vice chairman, please?
I nominate Tom McAdam.
Second on that?
Second.
Are there any other nominations? At this time, nominations for vice chairman are hereby closed. Since there's one nomination, but still, all those in favor of Tom McAdam as vice chairman signify by voting.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes carry. So therefore, Tom, congratulations. You are hereby vice chairman. We have this evening our engineer and planner, Roger McLernan, who has served us well in the past year. Are there nominations for board engineer and planner?
I nominate Roger.
I'll second it.
Are there any other nominations at this point? Nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor, please signify by voting aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Congratulations, Mr. McLaren. You are with us another year. We hope for another great year. The next professional to be appointed is that of board solicitor. Leo Manos is our present solicitor. Are there nominations, please?
I'll second.
We have a second. Are there any other nominations at this point? Nominations are hereby closed. All those who are in favor of our board solicitor, please, Leo Mattis, signify by voting aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Leo?
It's a pleasure again
to have it. And we have a board administrator.
The most important.
Yes. The workforce that keeps the board that does not function without our board administrator. We have Carmella Malfara as our board administrator.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, I won't get any further than that. Are there any other nominations at this point? Nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor of Carmella being our board administrator, please vote, signify by joining aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? There are no opposition. Carmella, we're delighted to have you returning again. You make us all fine. There are reappointments this evening that should be noted, and they are of Commissioner Landgraf, Mr. Peeble, Tim Koo, and Wendy Bartlett. Those reappointments have been made, and we'll move forward with that. The next is that of meeting dates. You have before you a list of meeting dates. If anybody could peruse those dates, please, and see if there are any conflicts at the holidays or other events, we would appreciate your comments at this point.
Yeah, I have a question. What do we do about November?
Yeah, I would say that second meeting, well, we don't have any.
We need a meeting.
We need to change.
So what would be the Monday, the fourth Monday of the month?
Well, is that Thanksgiving?
Is there a fifth Monday?
How about sometime around the 11th, but not the 11th?
Watch for other meetings here and...
Yeah, we have, we have to see if our professionals can, they have other
oh, okay.
meetings
got
also. Roger?
I'm good.
For what day?
Whatever day
there's you. There's okay. Five Mondays in the number. The fifth one's the 30th, and the fourth one's the 20th.
And we have a December meeting of the 9th. So our last meeting in October is the 26th. So can we do a mid-month meeting, or do we want to go to the fifth Monday? What is the wisdom there?
I would think the middle of the month would be more logical.
Yeah, probably.
I'd say it's before Thanksgiving.
So would the third Monday of the, would that, is that, how is that with Thanksgiving?
Week ahead.
Before. So can we do the third Monday?
How's that with the commission?
We're good. We're Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. What is the date of the third Monday of November?
16th.
November 16th. So that date will be the November meeting will be November 16th.
So Monday.
Monday.
The other one I would suggest that the Monday is December 28th. I would say that'd be an if labeled as an if needed meeting.
I would say, yeah.
Or just cancel it.
I'd cancel it.
Because that's a tough week. We just went through it.
Right.
The holiday in the middle of the week was right. Brutal.
I would cancel that meeting because
nobody's around.
Getting people to be here and applicants to get everything done would be very difficult. And do we need it? If we have to add a meeting in December, we'll add a meeting.
We can always do that.
We can do that, but we're not going to put any more in that month that we have to do. In the 13th, in the 21, we're scheduled already, so that works. How about other dates? We're all right in the rest of the months?
Yeah.
Okay, May. There's no meeting Memorial Day, so we're down to one meeting that month. That can be a busy month, May.
We'll look at it if we need
one. So if we need one, we'll add one. Okay. Other than that, Carmella, was this published?
No, I won't publish it till after.
Till after it's done. Leo, should I read the dates into the record or just signify by, what would you prefer?
I don't think we need to.
Yeah, they'll be published.
They'll be published.
Everyone has them, we're going to adopt them and then the law says within 7 days you have to publish the following.
Okay. So for the record.
And posted and whatever else.
And that meeting date is November 13th.
16th.
Start the record. Okay. Members of the board, the November meeting has been listed as November 16th. It's a Monday. And that is being added to the list that you have. And the Monday, December 28th meeting is being canceled from that list or retracted. So there are the two changes to the list. At this time, may I have a motion to adopt these meeting dates and a second, please?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes are carried. The meeting dates are published to the board as given to the board shall be published. And they were therefore given the public notice for the year by the board next year. Gentlemen and ladies, that completes the reorganization for the planning board for 2020. And we're going to have another break here. We have a lot to do, and looking forward to working with everyone to make this even better. There'll be a change in the application, in the order of applications this evening.
There's two. There's one announcement that I'll make.
There's one announcement.
The Sigismondi application, everyone knew this. The only reason it's on the agenda is because we didn't formally have the meeting dates adopted, so I couldn't make an announcement saying it was going to be on January 27th until we had that date adopted. So if anyone's here for the Sigismondi application, 204 North Princeton Avenue, Block 168-10, that's going to be January 27th, 6:30 p.m. in this room. The applicant is not required to republish or renotice. That leaves us with two applications.
And the first application, we're going to change the order. The first application this evening, so that would be Nicholas Howell, 129 North Newport Avenue. Do you have a professional with you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, why don't you both be sworn, and then we can begin.
Mr. Howell and Mr. Nasser, you each state your name and address or business address, and I'll swear you in with it together.
Yeah, my name is Nicholas Howell, 129 Newport Avenue, Redmond.
Rami Nasser, 1445 Pavilion Boulevard, Redmond. Do you swear upon the testimony about you'll be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Nasser, you have appeared before this board many times, so
yes.
You are a professional engineer.
And a professional planner.
And a professional planner.
Yes.
Your credentials are hereby accepted.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Howell,
yes.
Why don't you begin and tell the board exactly what you're trying to do and explain your application.
Okay.
Right before you start, maybe I'll get a Roger this morning in case he has to chime in.
Okay.
Mr. McCarney, swear upon the testimony about the future.
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, I've been a resident for 20 years at the home. I got some damage from Superstorm Sandy, and I'm proposing to have the house demolished and rebuilt within the same footprint. And I have Mr. Nasser here to explain everything else that I'm going to be building.
Real quick, it's my understanding that originally you wanted to elevate the house, put the house in place, and wouldn't have to come here,
structurally unstable, so you couldn't elevate that house, so that's why we're here.
Yes.
I thought we were going seconds.
What's that?
I thought we were going seconds, I wouldn't have come on.
Okay.
We're just keeping you on your toes, Mr. Master.
I'm trying it. I'm glad I was there. The property is known as 129 North Newport Avenue, Block 169, Lot 26. It's in the R7 zone. The house next to it has been rebuilt. It was constructed, and it's a half a duplex, and just got finished a few months ago. So we are proposing now to demolish the existing structure. This existing structure could not be raised. It has a lot of structural issues. To raise it would be more problematic than rebuilding the house. So the owner decided to rebuild the house on the same footprint. Basically, the width is getting a little bit narrower, but the same length, the same depth. And if we elected to raise the house, there will be only one variance. But because we are rebuilding, there's a host of variances we need to get approved by the board to allow the construction of the new structure. I'm pretty sure you've seen the way it is now. The new building on the left side has a different roof line. This structure will match the roof line, so it will look like one big one building, like it used to be before. We are proposing to elevate the house to elevation 14.5, which is 1.5 above what we're allowed by law, so we don't need variances. We're going to, the reason we're lifting the house higher, so we can have a garage under the house.
Everyone here? Yeah, everyone here? Okay, are people in the audience here?
I can hear, but I can,
There's, Roger, there's a drawer in front of you.
Yes.
Does anyone need hearing assistance? No? Okay, never mind.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another,
Yes, lift the microphone.
So back to where we are. We're raising the house in it to elevation 14.5 so we can have one car garage under the house. And because of that, I'm going to the list of variances we are requesting tonight. I'm going to use Roger's report. So we are on the same page. On page 2 of Roger's report, he has a schedule. We're requesting a principal structure front yard setback. It's required to be 12 feet. Existing is 0.32, proposed is 0.32. The lot is really narrow and shallow, so we can't really move to make the house further where it stands today. So it's really would be in the same location. The front yard also for the first floor deck is 7 feet. We are at the same front setback of 0.32, which is existing. Side yard setback is required to be 4 feet right to left. We are existing is 3.01 on the right side and 0 on the left side because it's a duplex. We are proposing 3.41, so we got a couple of inches extra on the side yard setback, bring us a little bit more into compliance. The front deck, the front porch also is 4 feet. Currently they don't have a front porch, so there's no nothing to compare it to, but we are 3.41 on the side yard setback. Rear yard, it's supposed to be 12 feet. The actual building is about 9 feet, but there's a structure back there. It's a shed, and they use it for the back of the building. That is remaining. So that structure is going to be moved, but the actual building is about 9 feet, but we still need to be 12, so we're not in compliance with this rear yard setback. The decks, they're not applicable to that. The coverage, the building coverage permitted in this zone is 55%, currently 67.6. 6. And I just noticed that we have error in our plan. It should be the same, 67.6. So we're not changing the building coverage. The lot coverage is 75%. Currently, it's almost 100%. We are proposing to bring that down by almost 17% to 83.9. We're going to create some green space on the side of the house. So it's closer to the 75% required. The principal building height we're in compliance with. The parking, we require that two parking spaces. Currently we have none. We're proposing one parking space inside the garage. Curb cut, it's 9 foot wide, but as you know, that is really tight to get the car in, because especially with these roads and you have cars parked. So we're requesting that to be 12 feet so so they don't have to ride the curb every time they get into the garage. There's another one called driveway length. Driveway length usually is 25 feet to allow a car to park in the driveway. We don't have that here. We have only 4.3 feet. But we're not going to park in 4.3 feet. There's not even a smart car will fit there, so we're not using that for parking. Landscaping, we're requesting a variance for that because we don't comply with the landscaping. There's no room to put the shade trees in the front because the lot is only 18 feet wide. By the time we put your driveway, to put a shade tree next to it, we kind of really would not work. Also, the grass strip will be only like 3 feet or 4 foot wide and 2 foot in width, and that will be like a minimum for the concrete, so this requesting a waiver from providing that. So these are the variances we're requesting for this application. Now there's a question in Roger's report about having, why can't we park two cars in the garage. There's a rule for that. The edge is we not have any more storage, and then all the equipment, mechanical equipment, will be kind of really in a tight space. So that's something that happens. We look at the plans. We can have a second car in the garage. We can just remove that wall, put the steel beam, and just put it in because at this point we are losing the space from the front of the house, so really there's no positive addition to any cars, any parking. But yeah, because usually they park in front of the house. Now we took that, made it at the driveway, so we're not increasing the parking, we're just taking one and putting it inside the garage. So by adding another car in the garage, we will improve the parking situation for this structure. So we have two cars in the garage, and they'll be actually safe from flood because they'll be sitting a little bit higher than what the street in this point.
You originally said you already have one.
No, the application showed only one car in the garage, and the back was a storage with the wall. At this point, we are going to eliminate the wall, move the mechanical equipment to the side, and have the two cars back there.
Is this an amendment to the application that you're actually...
This is the discussion.
Application.
Yes.
And you're adding a second car to the garage and eliminating the parking variance.
Correct.
Okay.
Does it eliminate the variance, or
would
add
two?
You only need
to. Okay. We don't need that variance, but that was one of the variances listed. So we requested that variance originally, but looking at it, it makes more sense to have two cars in the garage because we have the room. It's a 50-foot deep, 46-foot deep house, so we can put two cars in it. And then they can readjust the location of the mechanical equipment so they would not interact with fewer the cars. These hardship variances, they're due to the narrowness of the lot. There's no room for us to do anything. It's an existing structure. And if we lifted, most of these variances would not be required, so we're requesting that these variances be granted. We're improving the situation by lifting the house to ensure that it's away from flood, or also by rebuilding the house, you ensure that the house comes to the new standards, the building standards, so the likelihood of having a fire from old electrical would be kind of eliminated. So I think it's a better situation for to rebuild this house than just lifting it. And that's our situation.
Mr. Nasson?
Yes, sir.
Did you actually review the house or examine the house to determine structural?
Yes, we looked at the house. Lifting the house would be really a problem.
So you as in a professional opinion, basically issued said it was not able to be lifted.
Correct. And the other thing is when you look at the house next to it, if we lift this house, it would look really awkward the way, because you gotta have a house with and half a roof and you're going to have a house next to with a flat roof. It made sense to, for the both structure to be rebuilt, actually.
Oh. And you just intimated that you would be conforming to all the FEMA standards and building codes? Is that it, or will you be conforming to FEMA standards?
They have to. I mean, they already made an application to the building department with the new plans.
Right.
And that's when they realized that they need a variance, all these variances, so they have to come back to the board. So the applications are already pending at the building department.
No. Are you saying here today that the house that you're going to be proposing will meet all the new FEMA standards?
Yes,
sir. Okay.
Or actually exceed it.
Or exceed it, of course.
We will exceed. These will meet the standard, yes, of course.
Okay. Board members, are you complete in your testimony?
Yes.
No. Is there board members any discussion?
The building right behind your home.
Yes, sir.
It's not owned by the applicant.
It is on the property, on its property. Yes, sir.
I'm saying the building.
The small structure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it's on. Yes, it's property. Yes,
sir. It looks like there's one.
I think all stored. There are like seven storage areas. Each home along my street actually owns one of those storage areas. Hmm. At least since I've been there in 2000, I moved in.
Where the driveway comes in off of Mount Avenue?
Yes. There's like a common courtyard there.
And you're leaving that alone, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Nasser, again,
yes.
We understand the design. This house basically is just slightly smaller than the footprint of the existing house that you're demolishing.
Just a bit narrower, actually. The same depth, but narrower. They reduced it by 3 or 4 inches. So everything works out. The architects came up with that plan. Yes.
And the front porch is the only thing new that is actually being added to the house?
Yes.
And that's it. And that's about 8 inches.
The front porch is the same front, the same depth. Everything sits right where the front of the house is, where we are at this point.
There was one porch that was new. We were adding, I think.
Yes, the deck is going where the front house used to be.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's like.
They changed the location. The original house, the entrance was on the left side of the house, right. So they moved it because that's where if you look at the old pictures, it shows that the two houses with the doors on in the middle.
Right.
At this point, they have to be flipped. And this line here would match that the house next door where the way it was built. So just imagine this house flipped, that's how it's built at this point, the one next to us.
Right.
So when this structure is finished, it looked like a complete duplex.
Have you done everything you can to attempt to conform?
Yes, sir.
To be ordinance and not exceed the outbounds of the original house.
It was extremely difficult to conform with any of the requirements due to the narrowness of the lot and also the depth. So we didn't have room to maneuver to move things around to make this work. And if you move it back, then you don't comply with the, you don't meet the front, so it will look different the way they build it.
And the need for rebuilding the house is due to Superstorm Sandy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? I'm going to open it to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none, receiving no request, the public portion is now closed. Roger, you have your review.
Yes, I do.
Put it into the record, please. And have you read Mr. Flaherty's review?
Yes, I have. Some for an agreement.
Okay.
And that's one of the issues that came up about the garage and the fence. McLernan's suggestion was really appropriate for us.
Roger.
Thank you. Thank you, Board Members, for the reappointment. I appreciate it. The report is dated November 22nd, 2019. I'm going to go through a couple items briefly. In regard to the application of Nicholas Hollowell, 129 North Newport Avenue, Block 169, Lot 26. Again, as I opened up, as the applicant opened up his testimony, you can look at that building, you can tell it's probably structurally unstable and probably couldn't lift it. The house that's being proposed, I can't imagine any other structure being built at this location. And actually, lifting the old house wouldn't look nice to the past the school. So going back, this is a hardship case. The lot is only 18 feet wide, where 32 feet is required. If it's attached, it's allowed to be 30 feet wide. Minimum lot area is 2,000 square feet. They have 1,068 square feet to work with. So they're about half the size of the lot that they would normally be required to have. Again, they're not variances, they're existing non-conforming situations. Front yard setbacks, we talked about the variances required for that. And again, when I was looking through the application, and Robbie picked it up, that they could add an additional parking space in there and fully comply with parking. So that's one less variance. And I agree with all the landscaping. There's not enough room to do everything that we would normally like to see it in a new application. Not in my list, but it's in the chart that they do need the variances for building coverage and lot coverage. And going back to Rami's correction on the plan, the 67.6% building coverage remains the same at 67.6 versus the 60.2%. I think you can also see that the lot coverage actually went down. You confirm that, right?
Yes, we have removed some of the impervious on the right side of the house to create some kind of greenery, maybe shrubbery area. Mm-hmm. So we reduced it. We tried to, ordinance requires 75%. Currently it's almost 100%, so we brought it down to almost 84%. So which is like trying to bring it to compliance. That's the only thing we can do on this side due to the size of the property.
So they went 99.9%, which is about a coach's home somewhere. 83.9. I can see that surveyor measured that one. That's pretty good. The shed that's remaining, that's allowed to be staying in place as Perfina. It's a storage shed. It's permitted. There's no harm to the CRS program in the city. And again, by raising it and putting a garage underneath, you're more than exceeding the design flood requirements and freeboard requirements. That's a positive for this city. I really have no other comments to make on this. I think the applicant has testified to the C1 and C2 criteria. Again, this is heavy on the hardship for a lot size and shape. I think the board needs to take that into consideration in this application.
Okay. Are you complete, Mr. McLaren?
I am.
Master, do you have agreement with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have anything further to add at this time?
No, sir.
Okay. At this point, ladies and gentlemen of the board, do you have any questions of the applicant or our professionals? Leo, if you could, please, could you form my motion in the affirmative, as all motions are done, for this application, please?
Yes.
And then we'll have a roll call vote.
Passman, please make a motion for C variance relief for the following variances. Front yard setback for the building of 0.32 feet or 12 feet required. Front yard setback for the deck of the same 0.32 feet or 7 feet required. Side yard setback for the building on the right side, 3.41 feet or 4 feet required. Side yard setback for the left side, 0 feet or 4 feet required. Side yard setback to the deck. On the first floor deck on the right side, 3.41 feet or 4 feet is required. The side yard setback to the deck, the first floor deck on the left side of the same 3.41 feet or 4 feet is required. The rear yard setback to the building, 12 feet is required. They're 0.05 feet to that shed. The testimony was approximately 9 feet to the building. Curb cut variance of 12 feet, or 112 foot curb cuts proposed, whereas 10 foot curb cuts permitted. The parking, the testimony was that they're going to make it two spaces, so that will be compliant. That will not require a variance. Driveway length of 4.3 feet, or 25 feet required, and then a two coverage variances, building coverage of 67.6% or 65% is the maximum lot coverage of 83.9% or 75% as a maximum waiver for the landscaping street tree requirement. The conditions will be the applicant will comply with all representations made during the course of the hearing, and any other conditions support the Mr. McCormick's report dated November 22nd. And then again, as noted, they're going to make a mark in compliance so that variance goes away.
How was our board administrator, please call the roll and state
your motion.
Need a motion?
Motion. Second.
Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Langraff?
This to me is a typical C1 hardship type variance. Certainly a unique site, very narrow parcel. I really like the fact that the home is being reconstructed. I think that's going to match up nice with the home next door. It was done the same. The architecture, certainly an aesthetic improvement. They're not saying you have your current home, but this will be a nice improvement for you. Adding the second off-street parking space, I think, is a help as well. So I vote yes. I think this meets the hardship criteria. Will not be a detriment to the neighborhood and zone. I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I would agree with everything that Commissioner Langer said. I've had this happen to be in one area that's the first to have any kind of nuisance flooding in that area. So the fact that it's putting the home out of harm's way helps our roof flow insurance. So there's so many positives, especially as you mentioned, the architecture is now going to be compliant with the neighborhood. I would encourage other people in the neighborhood to do the same. Yeah.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. First of all, it resolves the issues that were created by Superstorm Sandy. The decision that I'll have to reach Mr. Langraff, that it was such a wise decision to rebuild the structure rather than try and lift something. It is enough, though, in our master plan, we've always had replacing obsolete structures with new structures, and this goes along forward to advancing the housing stock and improving the housing stock within the city itself. Secondly, we're conforming to the new FEMA regulations, and thereby assisting our overall compliance and lowering rates. There is obviously narrowness and shallowness to cut, but this is a pre-existing building, and you've done your best to comply with that as well, and not increase what's actually happened. So I have to applaud you for a great design, and also with keeping with what you're within the limits of what you were trying to do, with what you had to work with. It's a very small lot, and all right, thank you. Congratulate you for your dedication and being a stockholder in our city. So I vote yes.
Tom McAdam?
I vote yes. It's clearly a hardship application, and I fully the owner
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes. So this is, as everyone has stated before, a true hardship variance situation. Of the variances, they are existing. So because you're building something new, obviously they kick in. And I'm very happy that you reduced the dimensions. Even though you have a variance, it's even better, a better condition than what was before. So, yes. And it will be an aesthetic improvement for the neighborhood.
Dan Smith, the third.
I also vote in favor for all the comments that everyone's made. Thank you for staying and persevering through this process. It's not an easy situation. And I think having a new home is wonderful. Enjoy it.
Peter Taka.
I will also vote in favor of the application. Clearly, the criteria for a hardship variance and the fact that it will be the home to see if that will be the member.
You are approved, and congratulations, and fine job.
Thank you. Chairman, I have one question.
Yes.
You already have a building permit application pending. Anything the board can help so they can start the demolitions and start the process?
Yeah, I think if the board can help, we can, you obviously at your own risk, you understand all that.
Yes, of course.
But we can communicate to Jimmy that it's been approved and he can issue permits.
If not, we need to write the letter, or...
Shoot him an email.
If you could shoot him an email.
So it's documented?
Right.
So it's documented.
So you have your applications in, but it's been signed off pending this.
Of course, that's how we found out we need the variance.
Right.
Do you have any copy of the email, if you don't mind? If you send an email, any copy?
Yes.
All right, thank you so much.
We have a request for a 5-minute recess, originally. So we're taking that now. We are off the records for Carmel. We take us off the record.
Yep, sure will.
Sometimes they do some of it, depending on where it's going.
If you're confused, see me afterwards.
I think my license is resentment to that word. I think you said
that. Yes, you did.
Not that one, but the handheld.
Sure, if I need it.
You're usually pretty.
I like to talk loud.
I know you do. All right, it's there if we need it.
Thank you, member.
All right, we're not on. Ready?
All right, we're back on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Eric Van Wooderdog, Smokehouse LLC. The restaurant's principals, Steve Marshall, Schreiber, are here this evening. Property 7319 Venner Avenue.
If you wish to have any of the partners speak, have them sworn in.
Everybody, you sworn in, get it up, is there a question?
And have Mr. John sworn as well.
All right. Start with John. But each of you state your name and address, and I can swear you all together.
Sure. John Barnhart, at office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Steve Marshall, 3 North Martindale.
And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give me the truth, all the truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Before you start, this evening will be public comment. So the public comment is a point, not repetitive, and there's a number of people that wish to speak. We're going to limit the public comment to 3 minutes per person, and then go from there, and so on. So please keep to the point, and try to be repetitive.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, congratulations on appointments. Wooden Dog Smokehouse is a former Sun Bank building, 7319 Venner Avenue, corner of Venner Avenue and Fredericksburg. We were here several months ago to receive minor site plan approval, which this board fortunately granted for what has become a very successful opening. In the last 6 months or so, has been incredibly fortunate to see that. This evening, we come back before the board seeking a C variance for parking in order to add some additional tables on the Fredericksburg Avenue side of the building. Mr. McLaren and I can speak about it, but I come up with a 5-space variance in light of the original approval for 15 seats. Tonight, asking for 16 seats outside before four tops at 3 spaces per, at 3 seats per space, that comes out to 10.1 spaces. We have 7 spaces, so the difference being, I missed it by 2. Difference being 5 spaces, and John and Roger can go through that more specifically. The area where the seating is going is on the Fredericksburg Avenue side, where there's currently a landscape bed. That will be eliminated, so that causes coverage to increase by 4%, so it will be a coverage variance also. And Ms. McLaren has nicely detailed the sign package out front, which will need several variances because of the location and the size of those signs. Which keep in mind as we go through that, when we have foregone any signs on the Fredericksburg Avenue side, which is another front of the building, and are permitted in deference to the residential character of that neighborhood in Northern Gardens. So that side remains to start. What we have found this evening is, throughout the opening, is that some additional seating would be welcomed by the patrons to the restaurant. Business has been great, Steve will tell you that. We believe the variance can be justified in light of the fact that of the several quarter restaurants in this location, Border Dogs is the only one that does in fact have any parking. What we have, the situation which is unusual and unique to this restaurant, is that the Fredericksburg Avenue side of the property line extends out toward the sidewalk, where most of these buildings are on the property line. So it's all right of way as you go into the sidewalk and toward the street. Our property has property that we own where these tables are proposed. Because of that, we have to come in and ask for the parking variance because of those tables. If our building, like the others, or the next corner over, the corner beyond that, or across the street, if our building like those were on the property line, we wouldn't need to come before the board. We'd simply place those seats within the municipal right-of-way pursuant to the ordinance that was adopted, and that is permitted, as you see, on many corners throughout the city. But because we have the benefit of having a property there, we're fortunate to have it right now. We have to ask for variance. John Barnes is going to go through the details of that with you, and John, you can let it go.
John's obviously, his credentials are acceptable.
John Barnhart's credentials, you're here many times, his credentials are acceptable as a professional.
Thank you.
John, if you would just touch upon the location of the original approval and what we're here for too.
Sure. The site is located on the corner of Fredericksburg Avenue and Ventnor Avenue. It is known as Block 136, Lot Number 1. It was the site of a former bank facility, and it sat vacant and in desperate need of redevelopment for a great period of time. Mr. Marshall went forward with his partner to redevelop the site into the water dome facility that you see there today. And from the work that we did with him, from the prior approval that was granted, in our opinion, he's really come through with this property. It was a very, very well done property. The redevelopment of that building took an old, outdated looking building architecturally and turned it into something extremely unique, we believe extremely aesthetically pleasing, and fortunately for Mr. Marshall and his partners, so far a very successful business. And although it's a small little building, I think it's kind of already become a little icon of Ventnor Avenue. It's gotten a lot of buzz. I've never heard anything but good things about it so far. I'm discussing the project with Mr. Marshall. He's running a very clean operation. I've been there for a number of times myself. You don't see a piece of trash outside. The building is being very meticulously maintained since the day that he opened it. So what he's here for this evening is to gain approval for the signage package. And you can the signs have been installed, as you all know. The way that they were installed, it did create a few variances with regard to the signage. So I'll go through those first, and then we'll talk about the seating. The upper left corner of the plan that was submitted, and also, which is the same exhibit that I have here, it's the plan that was submitted with your application package, shows the building frontage. And as Chris pointed out, Mr. Marshall made the decision right up front when he started contemplating his signage to put it all on Ventnor Avenue. To not create signage that might have lighting on and things like that would create a nuisance to the residents on the side of Fredericksburg Avenue. So he proposed to concentrate on Ventnor Avenue with his signage package. He developed a signage layout that, from our perspective, when you look at the front of this building, although it's not a big building and it appears to have a lot of signage, it's different elements of signs. It's things that, while your land use ordinance doesn't necessarily contemplate it, some of those elements could be considered art, some of them could be considered murals, but you've got hand-painted letters on the face of the building, you have a sign that has a small projection above the roof, you have cedar shingles down below. The signage that he has developed on the front of this building, in our opinion, is essentially part of the architectural appeal of the building. So while we are in excess with regard to the height of the sign, the area of the signage, and overall area of the signage, the height of the sign structures individually, the minimum height of the signs above the ground, the height of the sign above the roof, and they're all itemized in Mr. McLaren's report. We think that this is a situation where we have a C2 type of variance request where the benefits of the deviation substantially outweigh any potential detriments, because he has created here a very desirable visual environment with the front of this building. It has a unique characteristic. When you drive by it, the signage doesn't overtake you. It doesn't look obnoxious. It's not in your face. It's not overly lit. It's not neon. It's all very, very tastefully done in keeping with the building. So,
Joe, we talk about signage and proliferation of signs on a building. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess what you're trying to avoid is visual noise or the visual impact in a negative manner. Is that right?
That's correct.
All the signs that Water Dog has,
They're either hand painted on the building or they're on like cedar wood chambers. Yeah.
And they're designed in that manner, painted in that manner to flow with the whole concept in front of the building where you see the cedar siding, the benches, and all the wood treatments.
That's correct.
So the whole facade of the building from the Ventnor Avenue perspective is done in a unified fashion and creating one appearance.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So as I said, I think this is a C2 type of application where the benefits of deviation outweigh the detriments. And that obviously it provides the information necessary for the business to be successful, but it also creates an architectural and unique visual experience for not only the patrons, but even motorists going by the facility. So with regard to the negative aspects of signage on the front of this building, as we mentioned, the signage is all facing the commercial uses. There is no signage on the frontage of the building that is facing the residential uses. The lighting of the signage is very, very minor and tasteful and not creating any glare issues. So the negatives associated with exceeding the signage requirements at this location, we believe, do not exist. It does not create a substantial detriment to the zone planner zoning ordinance, and it does not create a substantial detriment to the public good as a result of the additional signage.
So let's talk briefly about the size of the lettering on the building.
Sure.
The header. And the fact that there are 25 mile per hour right around the county road. So anybody who's not familiar with the building and hasn't green lighted that location, they can at least see as you're driving by some of the menu items or what's served at the restaurant based upon the size of the lettering of the building and the office on the building.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, it's interesting in the way that they developed it. For the motorist, you have the water dog signage, and you've got a couple other elements on that face canopy. The motorist sees that, sees the identification, sees what the restaurant is all about. For the pedestrian that's walking, they're not really seeing that signage, but they're on the face of the building. Again, there exists the water dog logo as well as a list of items that. That Water Dog offers. So it's kind of a two-stage or two-phase type of signage package, and it's, you know, I mean, we do a lot of this work. It's a very, very well thought out plan with regard to the signage.
From a planning perspective, the county looked at it as a free flow of traffic, a safety measure when you design the signage.
Signage.
So you traffic slowing down quickly to see if they're being served there.
Correct. Appropriate signage is important to not create issues with regard to traffic, especially when it comes to urban areas like this where you have a lot of traffic on the street.
Great.
Okay, so that's the sign. The second request with this application is with regard to some picnic tables outside on the property. The proposal is to utilize an existing area that is between the right-of-way line of Fredericksburg Avenue and the face of the building on Fredericksburg Avenue. Create a little paper patio area and install four picnic tables. Those four picnic tables would have a total of 16 seats. The tables are permitted, but it creates a parking variance because the original approval that was gained with the application was approved for 15 seats, which at that time we had six parking spaces, which we still have. So the project was compliant with regard to parking as submitted. With the outdoor seating that we are proposing, the calculation of an additional 16 seats, if you add that to the 15 that were approved in the original approval, it takes us to 31 seats. The total requirement based on 31 seats is just over 10 parking spaces. So you round that to 11 spaces. We have 6 spaces, so our deviation would require a 4-space parking variance. There is some existing seating out on Ventnor Avenue, which, as I'm sure everybody's aware, I think it's removed now, but it was there in the summertime. That is permitted by ordinance. It does not generate a parking requirement as a result of that ordinance. And that's what Chris was alluding to earlier, is that the interesting thing about the way the lighting ordinance is written is, you know, we have a wide sidewalk on Ventnor Avenue. As long as you stay back 7 feet, you can put as many seats as you can fit in that space as long as you're back 7 feet and not blocking the sidewalk, and it doesn't create a parking variance. What Mr. Marshall and his partners have decided to do is, rather than overcrowd the front, because they would like some additional seating, is to utilize this area along the side. There'll be a nice outdoor area, still up toward the corner of the avenue, but it would be on his property, I'm sure maintain just as meticulously as the balance of his property, but because it actually then falls on the private property, it creates the parking demand as per the ordinance requirement, thus the need for the 5-space parking variance.
If the board just looks at the face sheet of the plan, the requirement is to stay 7 feet off the curb line?
That's correct.
7 feet off the curb line at that location, you'd be granted to put a lot of tables in there. Trying to avoid it. It'd be amazing at nighttime, some of the town restaurant, the house of four, in that area, there's tons of tables in there, making the sidewalk virtually impassable. We're trying not to do that. Like bringing those tables, just for bring those tables around the board instead.
Yeah, as Chris pointed out, this is sidewalk dining and in the afternoons, early evenings. I mean, Mr. Marshall doesn't have late night hours, so it's become very popular in Ventnor, and it's frankly when you come on the weekends or really wouldn't say time of summer. It's really awesome to see. I mean, you've got a lot of life and excitement on your street frontages now where these restaurants exist. But they get very, very crowded. And as Chris also mentioned, most of those facilities don't have the opportunity to do what Mr. Marshall is proposing here because they have no space on their property to do it. It's still outside because their buildings are line to line to line. They have no parking. They have nowhere else to put this seating. So they put as many as they can in the right of way based on the permission of the ordinance for that. Mr. Marshall would like to make things a little more comfortable, spread them out a little bit, which is why he's requesting to create them along the side of the building. With that paved patio area, it does increase the impervious coverage a little bit. It goes from 92.5% to 96%. It's the numbers are high. The site's been almost essentially 100% impervious since the bank was built. If you went to Mr. Marshall's property, you can see with the little areas of landscaping that he has, even with that, he went to great extent to make it look really pretty. Ripped everything out, redid everything. We are still proposing to maintain a soft space right here on the corner so that it will actually really help or create a beautiful look right on the corner of the building, but allow passability between that landscape area and the front door.
And the two streets we recommended on that side are acceptable. We'll let them back down landscaping is eliminated for the most part.
And obviously get rid of the stone governor strip, put concrete in there, and put the tree pits. It's a high pedestrian area.
And there is a street that's already been added with the tree pit.
Yep.
So with regard to justification for the parking, we've done a lot of commercial applications in town. Parking is at a premium on Ventnor Avenue. This is one of those cases where, fortunately, Mr. Marshall does have some parking. We are asking for, we think, a minor request with four additional tables. The location of this, if you did visit it this summer, you saw you have a lot of different modes of transportation coming to this building. You have people walking up, you have people biking up, you have some people driving. They're using street parking in the summertime. With or without these four additional spaces, these four additional tables, it doesn't exist in the summer. That's the nature of this community. It's the nature of every island community that we work in. But allowing them to move forward an application like this helps continue to support their business, make it successful, and the success of this business is the success of the community, because these businesses like this are so important to the commercial success of a community like the city of Ed.
And John, one of the advantages of the type of use this is being primarily takeout food generates greater turnover in parking space. People are in and out more often than if it was a traditional sit-down restaurant.
Yeah, there is, you're not in here a super long time. You know, you don't have a server that's coming to take your order and prolonging your stay. Although some people hang out, but it affords the opportunity for these spaces to be utilized more frequently than a sit-down restaurant where, you might get three couples come in two cars and their car stays in the lot for 3 hours. That doesn't take place here.
Thank you, John. Steve, you want to just kind of mic?
Again, I'm Steve Marshall, one of the partners, along with Dan Greenberg, Family Partners.
I'd like a little higher, but you'd be more comfortable.
Thanks. First of all, I apologize for my hat and coat. I've been fighting a head cold, and so if I look like I came off the tundra, I apologize. So just a couple comments on both the parking and the signage, first the signage. John mentioned it already, and I mentioned it when we first presented, I don't have plans to put signage on Fredericksburg. I think it would be the least impactful and the biggest olive branch that I could kind of put forward to my neighbors. As you know, SunBank had a lit sign on that side, so I think no sign, let alone no lit sign, is an improvement for those neighbors on that side. So I hope that is considered when you are considering ruling on the variance for the signage. For the sinus is not conforming in front of the building. And as far as the parking goes, I think we contemplated coming with even more seating on the Fredericksburg Avenue side, but I didn't want to be a pig, and I wanted to be reasonable to my neighbors, because I hope they're reasonable to us. We've strived to be a good neighbor so far, and I think by all accounts we are. If I were a homeowner, as I said to their proxy who stopped in the store,
this week, I'd be concerned about the value of my property. I'd want my voice heard. But I'd also hope that she and her fellow owners in Marvin Gardens on both sides of Fredericksburg as well understand that my commitment, what I said when I was here earlier, that I intend to be a good neighbor. I intend to do exactly what I'm approved to do and nothing more. And I am empathetic to my neighbors. And I'm trying to be as least impactful as possible. Thanks for your consideration.
Jerry, that's all the direct testimony we have to present.
I have a question, just to clarify. There's the governor's strictness on Fredericksburg Avenue.
Yes.
That, in your application, is big, the stone is being removed and grass is being put in.
I thought there was grass there in the first place. That's why I did that by error. It's being, there's no plan to change it. There's no plan to change to install the street trees with 3 minutes, as right. Suggested to
you. I noticed you're obviously asking for parking, but I don't see any bike racks in this particular. I know other places have them, and we encourage other forms of transportation.
Yeah, I'd like to put, if you could picture the property to the right of the front door, there is this faux parking spot there that should not be used because you really shouldn't pull back onto Ventnor Avenue. I'd like to put 2 bike racks there. I didn't include it into this application, but that's my intention, is to come in and ask for the right to put 2 bike racks right there. I don't know. Yeah, that's where I'd like to put them. Number one, we need bike racks. Number two, we stop people from parking there.
And that's, I don't believe that's one of the counted 6 spaces on site.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it doesn't. Where are you talking about?
He's talking about the space right here.
Right.
It's right next to the building. Okay. It would be a perfect spot for a bike rack.
Well, I mean, obviously, we've been encouraging biking throughout the community, and so it's a natural.
Maybe the suggestion would be when you submit compliance plans, you can just add a couple of bike racks on each of those plans to show up.
Thanks.
That way, there's no question from Jimmy when you would use the plans for your permits.
Thanks.
Just to make it easy on everything.
I have a question.
Yes.
I like the aesthetics of the signage that's up there. My only concern is the precedent that is set by having sort of what I consider to be a menu sign on the extreme right. My concern is it looks great, but if we approve that portion of the signage, are we setting a precedent for other places in that that will take it a tad further than the aesthetics that are here, where we may rue the day for saying, oh yeah, they have a menu on the front.
And they hate to hear this, Roger, they will back me up that there's supposed to not be a thing such as precedent when we have these applications. Every property, every application stands on itself. What has happened here, though, is we're before you asking for that variance for that sign.
Right.
As is the appropriate way to do it. I know a lot of times with respect to enforcement, that happens a lot, oftentimes, without anybody going anywhere to get a permit. The best I can say is, I hope it doesn't act as a trigger for other people to do it. At least we're doing it, but before you were asking for it, we're getting variance for it. Okay, hopefully it doesn't act as presidential.
Sure, but I have to consider that also. Because that is something that's before the variance.
Yes.
I have no problem with the water dog sign. I think it looks fabulous. But having that menu thing doesn't really...
You're talking about the itemized?
Yeah, that is...
It just gives you an idea of what's available. It doesn't count, it's not a menu. But I understand what you're saying.
Can I comment on his question? Because I kind of have a tip on that. And that is, in my opinion, that this concept of risk, I don't want to speak to you from the show, but when you call it a smokehouse and smoked fish, it's so unique that in a lot of ways that is not that they offer so many other things. I just know from personal experience. I'm speaking more from personal experience that people don't know what other things they have to offer in that building. And in fact, I've recommended it. They say, oh, I don't like smoked fish. It's a way to improve, I think, from a business standpoint, their traffic and I think the comment that the success of the business is the success of the city. So in my opinion, there's a line there.
Well, I live in the neighborhood, so I love it. I think it's fabulous the way it all looks, but I just have that concern.
Okay. Other members, questions or any questions of the applicant?
Well, I do. There's an awning shown over here. Can somebody speak a little bit about what that's about?